Hey there, welcome to the Friday edition of Following the Truth. I'm Gary Zimak. Today is August the 7th. We're going to talk about what it takes to follow Jesus. And if you subscribe to my daily email devotion, my devotional Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, you're going to see that I made a comment today that you think Jesus could have come up with a better marketing slogan than he did for what is required to be a disciple. But he tells the truth. And I want to really unpack this a little bit, because it's when we hear what he has to say, it's a tough message. And you wonder, why would anybody follow Christ if this is what's required? But there is definitely a reward to this. And it definitely ends up being better than it sounds. So that's going to be the topic of today's show. I got to tell you about my night last night. I hope you got a chance to catch my appearance with Justin Fatica on EWTN Facebook Live. It was great. I love Justin's enthusiasm. I think it was a good program. I shared it on Facebook today. Pardon me. You can also find it on YouTube. They posted it earlier today. Really great opportunity for me to hang out with Justin for a little bit. He does such really good work for the Lord. And he got me all fired up. You know, he's one of those guys that just gets you fired up when you talk to him. But the interesting thing is, after the program, now, you know, I've been fighting this battle with poison ivy. My elbow was, it was getting really red, and it was this, not to go into a lot of gross details, but there was this yellow gunk coming out of it, and I was a little concerned. So my wife told me to email a picture of it to my sister. My sister's a nurse, so I thought, well, let me just do it just to see. She's going to tell me, don't worry about it, that's the way it's supposed to look. Well, my sister looks at it and says, you really should go see about this. It looks like that redness doesn't look good, so... 8:30 yesterday, after I'm done doing the show with Justin, I rushed over to the local urgent care because they were closing in like 15 minutes. So, you know, it's kind of funny when you're in a situation like that, your adrenaline's going, and I was saying my prayers on the way over. Wasn't feeling that bad, but I just didn't think the thing looked good. Well, to make a long story short, the doctor looked at it, cleaned it up, and said it was really a non-issue, but I got some antibiotic cream for it. She had mentioned that this poison ivy, I guess I must have had a really bad reaction to it. And she said, I guess you're really allergic to it. And I said, yeah, when I was a kid, I had it really bad, but that's been more years than I can count. I mean, I have not thought about poison ivy for a long time. But the good news is I got my cream. I'm on the mend. I put the antibiotic cream on. It seems to be getting a little bit better. But if you wouldn't mind throwing up a prayer for me, I would appreciate it. Because it's funny, you know, in the I was telling my wife this morning, I've been having trouble focusing on my prayers. Because when you got something like this going on, it just throws your whole body out of whack. I haven't been sleeping right because I wake up in the middle of the night scratching it. I also got to get rid of this frog in my throat. Pardon me. But, you know, you wake up in the night scratching it, and it has not been a fun experience. So if you wouldn't mind putting up a prayer or two for me, I would really appreciate it. It's not that bad. In the big picture, it's not that bad, but it's very frustrating. You know, some days you're tired, you might be feeling a little bit off, and it does affect your spiritual life. It does affect your prayers. And I was telling the Lord this morning when I was praying, I said, Lord, I'm sorry, but this is all I got. This is the best I can give you today. And, you know, I think that's okay. It's okay. You just give him your best as long as you're not purposely slacking off. We're going to have good days and bad days, but that's what love is all about. You show up anyway. And that's the important thing to remember. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter how perfect your prayers are. It matters where your heart is. And I tell you that story just to give you some hope and confidence and let you off the hook a little bit and realize that some days you're not going to feel it. You're not going to feel it. But that's what love is. You show up, you give it all you got, and that's what the Lord is looking for. So before we begin the program today, before we begin what we're going to talk about, and we'll base it on the gospel from today's Daily Mass, let's pray. Let's turn to our Father in heaven and ask him to bless the time that we are about to spend together. And by the way, I got so busy talking about myself, I didn't tell you how great it is to have you with me. So I'm glad that I can be here with you. I'm glad that we can come together. I'm glad that we can talk about Jesus and listen to some of his teaching and try to unpack it. it really means a lot to me that you show up day after day and sit at the table with me and spend some time with me. Even though technically I can't see you, I really can feel your presence. I'm not kidding. I really feel your presence. So thank you. Thank you for showing up. And I hope you're doing well, as in addition to me talking about myself. I hope you're doing well, too. And I pray for you every day, and I'll keep doing that. All right? Let's pray. Turn to our Father in heaven now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, sometimes it is impossible for us to get our brains around how much you love us and how powerful you are and how amazing you are. God, the Father of the universe, you created all things. When Jesus took on human form, he allowed us to become adopted sons and daughters of you, Heavenly Father. So that is a really incredible opportunity, and I am very grateful to be not only in your presence, but to be able to talk to you and ask you for what I need, offer to serve you, ask you to direct my steps. You know, that's quite an opportunity. So with that in mind, Father, I come to you and I ask you to bless us all today. Please help us in our journeys. Help us with the battles we all face. Help us to grow closer to you. Help us to be able to feel your love, to know how much you love us, and to see your presence in our day-to-day lives. Help us to see you in all things. Father, we pray for all of our needs, physical, spiritual, emotional. We pray for an end to this coronavirus. We pray for a greater appreciation of the gifts that you give to us each day, a greater awareness of our dependency on you. You know, Father, sometimes we forget how much we need you. So we pray for a greater awareness, that we may become more aware of our need for you in our lives. Father, I ask you to pour out your Spirit on us. Give me the words. I've got an idea what I want to say, but I ask you to send your Spirit to direct my words so that your specific message can be spoken on the air today. And please open all of our minds and our hearts to not only hear your message, but to respond to it by putting it into practice this day. Father, we ask these things in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, a couple of things. Oh, by the way, thank you for praying with me. This is Following the Truth. My name is Gary Zimak, and you can find out more about my work at followingthetruth.com. I just wanted to remind you of a couple of things. If you get a chance, my weekly podcast, The Gary Zimak Show, is available as of today. You can get that wherever you get your podcasts. It's free of charge, just like this show. And I'll focus on the mass readings for this coming Sunday. And there's some good ones. A very familiar gospel this Sunday, so I hope you're able to listen to the program. In addition, don't forget to pre-order your copy of Let Go of Anger and Stress. That's going to be coming out in technically 2 months, but I think it's going to be earlier. The release date is October the 3rd, but I do expect it to be out in September. So if you want to make sure you get your copy as soon as it's available, you can pre-order now. You can do that by just going to followingthetruth.com and clicking on the pre-order button. You know, you can get that from Amazon's accepting pre-orders right now. And that way you'll make sure that you get your copy in case the first printing sells out, like what happened with Give Up Worry for Lent for the past couple of years. And since this book is the follow-up to Give Up Worry for Lent, the first book to be released after Give Up Worry for Lent, I would expect there could be some demand for the book. So just want to make sure you can get your copy. And we'll talk more about the book as the time for the release date grows nearer. Also, make sure you sign up for my Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled daily email devotional. Short message, Bible verse, little message for you each day. I don't spam you. I just send out one email a day. But I'd really love to have that connection with you. I know a lot of people have been benefiting from the emails. So if you haven't done so, give it a shot. See what you think. Okay? And you can do that by going to followingthetruth.com as well. All right. So today we're going to be talking about what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus. And, you know, it's a tough message. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's a tough message. The Lord has some pretty strict requirements, and it doesn't sound too appealing at first glance. Let's get right into it, and then we'll unpack it a little bit and talk about what he's saying here. This is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 24 through 28. And again, this is the Gospel from today's Daily Mass. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Now, you know, look, I've been a Christian my entire life. I was baptized as an infant. And I have always gone to church every Sunday without fail. But I there is no way that I could categorize my life as a Christian as a real disciple. I was just going through the motions for many years. When you look at what Jesus is saying, if you wish to be my follower, if you wish to come after me, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Well, what does that mean? Number one, what does that mean? And number two, why is it that we should do this, right? Because that does not sound very attractive. And again, if he was a marketing executive and came up with a slogan like this, who the heck would follow? Because it doesn't sound very appealing. But see, this is the key. If we are to be really, truly followers of Jesus, that means we must what? We must follow him. We have to let him lead, and we follow. And to be a follower of Jesus means that you should let the Holy Spirit transform you into the image of Jesus, to turn you into another Jesus, meaning that he sets the standard and we follow his example. Deny yourself. One of the problems that I have always suffered from, you might suffer from it too, is I'm a very self-centered person. I like to be comfortable. I like to please myself. I like to feel good. So as a result, for many of the years of my life, my chief goal was to do things that would make me feel good. It's a big problem in society nowadays, too. I mean, I know I'm not alone. But at the same time, I would go to church every Sunday thinking that I'm being a good Christian. But in reality, I was just going through the motions. So the idea of denying oneself, for many people, that's a difficult, challenging idea, because it means that your pleasures have to be denied. You deny yourself things that sometimes make you feel good. But if you look at the life of Jesus, that's really what he did as well. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. That's the call. That's what he calls us to do. Not the easiest thing sometimes, because self-denial doesn't come easy to many of us, and this is why we need the help of the Holy Spirit. But we have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give us the ideas, make it easier for us. You know, one of the gifts of or the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control, but that can be challenging sometimes, because we're always going to have that decision to make. Do I really want to do this thing because it feels good, or should I bypass it? Should I bypass the instant gratification, what feels good, to do the right thing? And that's why sin can be so attractive. Sin appears to be good. We wouldn't have any problem with sin if it didn't feel good. But sin appears to feel good. You know, it's attractive to us because that good feeling we go for. So that's why we get ourselves into trouble sometimes. But Jesus is saying we have to deny ourselves, take up our cross. And what does that mean? That means to accept whatever happens to us. We don't necessarily have to go looking for crosses. Every now and then, yeah, that's a good idea, to deny yourself at times, to take on little sacrifices or even big ones, depending on your personality. But life has a way of presenting enough crosses to us that we don't necessarily need to look for more. If you just make a vow every day to accept what happens to you as coming from the hand of God, because that's the truth, anything that comes your way, he is allowing or willing to happen, You know, certain things it's not his will that evil be done or that sickness occur, but he allows these things to happen. And we're never going to fully understand why, because we're not God. But if you accept everything that happens to you without complaint, that's how you pick up your cross. That's how you carry your cross. That's one thing that Jesus cannot do for any of us. He can allow things to happen to us. He could send us down different roads. He can lead us even into the storm, but he cannot carry your cross for you, because that requires your free will. That's a conscious choice that, yes, I am going to pick up or embrace my cross. The crosses can come my way. I might not have a choice as to the cross that I endure, right? Poison ivy, I didn't pick this, but I can choose to carry it without complaint. I might not choose to lose my job, but I can choose how I respond to it. And that's one of the freedoms that we have. Every one of us has that free will, to the ability to carry our cross willingly without complaint. That's challenging, but that's what's required of us to be a disciple of Jesus and to follow him, to follow his footsteps. So every day, for example, we look at the gospel and he gives us some sort of a challenge, or he gives us some sort of a guideline to follow in his footsteps. Today, he tells us very specifically what it takes to be his true disciple. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So essentially what this means is, when I wake up in the morning, if I'm going to be a true disciple of Jesus, I should surrender my life to him or the events of the day to him. I should willingly accept whatever happens to me. You know, it doesn't mean I can't pray for these things to go away, for the suffering to leave me. That's fine. But if the suffering remains, that's an opportunity for me to say, all right, Jesus, I unite my suffering with yours. Please put it to good use, which he can do. And I'm not going to complain about it, because when I complain, that shows that I'm not accepting his will to be done in my life. It doesn't mean I can't complain to him. You know, I could say, Jesus, please take this away from me. But in the meantime, Lord, use this suffering. You know, complaining to God becomes a form of prayer. Complaining to other people is not, that's just being a complainer. But taking up your cross, following him, is what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And then Jesus goes on to explain it a little bit more. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, this doesn't mean you have to become a martyr, but it means you have to die to self, even in a spiritual sense, that you give up your life to serve others. Doesn't mean you can't ever enjoy yourself. That's not what it means. But for the most part, what it means is you look for opportunities to serve Jesus in serving other people. And there's plenty of those opportunities. You can do the dishes for somebody. You know, sometimes you can do some of the dinner dishes, or maybe empty a trash can without saying anything. Just do these little acts of kindness for those in your life. Little things. You know, maybe let somebody get the last word in when you're having a discussion or an argument. Maybe saying yes, even though you think you're right, agreeing that somebody else is right. Give them the chance to get the last word in, or to win the argument. These are not big things, but these are all ways of dying to self and becoming more selfless, which, again, I'm being honest, for me, that's not easy, because there are times when I just want to please myself. Getting married and having kids has really helped me with that, because when you have small kids, you learn what it means to be selfless, or at least you have the opportunity to learn. And I've learned some things, but I still have that tendency to want to go for the comfort or the things that feel good. But this is what Jesus is saying, to be his disciple. And, you know, understand that this is a lifelong process. We don't necessarily master this right away. This is a process that takes time. Each day, we should grow a little bit in being a disciple of Christ, become a little less self-centered. And Jesus goes on to say, what profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? In other words, to gain everything that makes us feel good, money, recognition, a bunch of toys, but in the end, to be so self-centered that you don't end up in heaven. I mean, that would be a complete waste of a life. That's one way for your life to be a complete failure, if you do not end up becoming a saint. And of course, by being a saint, what we mean is that you end up in heaven. That's the goal for each one of us. That's what the Lord has for us. That's his will for us. Now, it's not possible. It's possible that we can mess that up by not going along with him, by not following the prompting of the Holy Spirit and you know, following in the footsteps of Jesus. That is possible. That's why it's important for us to hear gospels like this, because we should know what it is that we're getting into when we call ourselves a Christian, or when we surrender our lives to Jesus. Or what can, Jesus says, or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay each according to his conduct. So this is a clear indication that we will be rewarded for the way we behave. Now, that doesn't mean we can get to heaven through our own merits. The only way you and I can get to heaven is by the grace given to us by Jesus. But again, we can mess it up. So we are still called to follow Jesus, to put others ahead of us, and to follow in his footsteps and to accept what happens to us. Because understand that anything that happens to us is somehow allowed to happen to help us to get to heaven. You know, the circumstances that happen, they're not random. The Lord allows certain things to take place in each of our lives. We each have different challenges. You know, I look at some people's lives and I think, wow, what a struggle. They have all these different physical challenges or emotional challenges, but it's all different. It just goes to show that the Lord has a plan for each one of us. And in his wisdom, in his infinite wisdom, he knows what's best for us. And Jesus goes on to say, amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom, in his kingdom. Now, this particular exchange took place just prior to the event called the Transfiguration, which we talked about on yesterday's show. So because yesterday was a feast, that gospel occurred a little bit out of order. That gospel actually occurred after what happened here. So this is what was told to the disciples prior to them going up to the mountain and having that vision of Jesus in his heavenly glory. And you could see why, because it's a tough message. So how do we react to this message? If this is the case, if becoming a disciple of Jesus requires us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and then follow in his footsteps. And we all know where he ended up. He was crucified. So following in his footsteps is not always the easiest path to take. Why is it that we should want to be his disciples if it's going to be a lot of unpleasant stuff? Well, for one thing, being his disciple, following in his footsteps, will get us to heaven. And we can spend eternity in paradise with him. That's the goal for each of our lives. And if you're somebody like me who has struggled with anxiety and suffered through, has found life to be difficult at times, which I have, there's a reward there. There's no worrying in heaven, right? I mean, it's all good stuff. We want to end up there. But even more short term, and this is what I've discovered, being a disciple of Jesus and following in his footsteps every day, even when it requires picking up my cross, denying myself, it brings the greatest peace that I've ever experienced. The peace I had before I really accepted Jesus into my life involved things going favorably for me. In other words, pleasant circumstances means Gary is at peace. But when things would go wrong, and invariably you're going to have something go wrong every day, even if it's the traffic jam or bad weather, or you know, a difficult assignment at work, you're going to have some form of suffering in your life every day. The peace without Jesus only lasts until some suffering comes along, and then right away your peace is gone. You know, even the fact that it's Monday, having to go into work after the weekend, I remember being miserable waking up on a Monday morning and thinking, oh my gosh, I have to make it till Friday. This is because my whole life was centered around the world and enjoying myself. But once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you really surrender your life to Him, and you start living for Him and following Him, even though it requires self-denial and picking up your cross, you're going to be able to experience the peace that only He can give, that supernatural peace that is not dependent on external circumstances. So you can be peaceful in the midst of a pandemic on a Monday morning when it's raining. It is possible to experience that peace. Now, you might not be doing cartwheels, but there's going to be an internal peace that goes along with doing the will of Jesus. And that's what I found, and it's absolutely worth it. So if you haven't made that commitment, if you haven't formally declared that you are in need of a Savior, that you're a sinner, that you're in need of a Savior, and then surrender your life to Jesus Christ and accept Him as your personal Lord and Savior, make it a point to do that today. And then follow Him each day. When you wake up in the morning, say, Jesus, lead me. I surrender this day to You. Lead me where I'm supposed to be. Lead me to the people that You want me to meet. Help me to react in the way You want me to react. And that's done with the help of the Holy Spirit. When you start to do that, you will become a true disciple, and you'll experience that peace that goes along with being a follower of Jesus. All right, give it a try and you'll see it works. All right, I'm looking at the clock on the wall. I have to run now. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Let's pray for each other, okay? And I look forward to, God willing, seeing you back here on Monday with another episode of Following the Truth. Have a wonderful day, and go ahead, carry that cross, because it's going to bring you lots of peace. God bless you. Talk to you next time.